Let's all stand out of reverence for God's word. Follow along as I read 1 Kings chapter 19. This is God's word. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." In other words, you're a dead man. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Okay, Ahab and Jezebel were up north, land of the Yankees. Beersheba is way down south in Dixie, right? So Elijah is so afraid, he leaves Maine and he runs all the way to Florida to try to save his life. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, to the mount of God. Then he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. And remember, church, this is God's word. He gave it to us because he loves us and because he wants us and longs for us to hear his voice. Let's pray together. So God, open our ears. And according to the opening prayer this week, God, we pray this: Lord, teach me to listen. The times are noisy and my ears are weary with the 1,000 raucous sounds which continually assault them. Give me the spirit of the boy Samuel when he said to you, "Speak, for your servant hears." Let me hear you speaking in my heart. Let me get used to the sound of your voice, that its tones may be familiar when the sounds of the earth die away, and the only sound will be the music of your speaking voice. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. That prayer is the opening prayer of the week every day, written by A.W. Tozier, a prayer that we would have God open our ears. To hear God, we need to ask God to deal with the mockingbirds in our lives, the world, the flesh, and the devil that tempt us to follow other things, thinking it's the voice of God. Three mockingbirds that get in the way. First of all, listen for God's voice beyond your circumstances. Now listen, I'm going to talk about things this morning in absolute senses. There are at times a parade of providence that reveal the direction we're supposed to go. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking this morning of how often Christians tend to try to divine the voice of God by examining their circumstances like some witch doctor would open up a chicken and examine the chicken guts. Too many Christians try to divine the voice of God when the voice of God is found in the Word of God alone. Listen for God in His voice beyond your circumstances. Verse 2, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, and of course what she said was basically, you're a dead man. This throws Elijah into confusion, because he was trying to hear God's voice through the circumstances. In 1 Kings 18, there's an amazing victory. The prophets of Baal are defeated. Evil is thrown down. And Elijah expects that to be the voice of God, that revival's coming to Israel. But revival didn't come to Israel. Ahab and Jezebel didn't repent. The people of Israel didn't return from idolatry. See, Elijah experienced good circumstances, and he expected from divining those good circumstances that God's voice was saying all is going to be well in Israel. But we can't always see and hear God's voice through our circumstances. Conversely, in verse 2 of our chapter, Jezebel sends a messenger and says, you're a dead man. And Elijah again thinks he can divine God's voice through the circumstances. Good grief. Everything's going down the tubes. God doesn't care. He's abandoned me. I might as well die. Good circumstances aren't necessarily opening up the voice of God to you, and bad circumstances don't necessarily open up the voice of God to you. We need to listen for the voice of God in Scripture beyond our circumstances. So many Christians try to interpret God's voice through their circumstances. The opposite needs to be true. You need to allow God's voice in Scripture to interpret your circumstances. Look at verse 3. As a result of him looking at his circumstances, Elijah was afraid. He was filled with fear. Remember the acronym we use at Oak Mountain for fear? F-E-A-R. False evidences appearing real. That's what happens when you look at your circumstances and think that you're hearing God's voice through your circumstances. You fall into fear. False evidences appearing real. Instead, we're to wait in our circumstances for God's word to speak to us about our circumstances. And that's what finally happens in verse 5. God in his grace comes to Elijah, and then he sends an angel. By the way, that's the same word for messenger in verse 2. The messenger of Jezebel is the same word as an angel from God. Which messenger are we going to listen to? The messenger of circumstances or the messenger of the Word of God? Every one of us in here this morning has to make a decision on this one question. What is going to be your final authority in life? Every one of us here. Is it going to be your gut? Is it going to be trying to divine a pattern out of your circumstances? Is it going to be culture? Or is it going to be one thing? The Word of God. You cannot interpret God's Word through your circumstances. You must interpret your circumstances through God's Word. But even after God's voice speaks to Elijah, he's still focused on the mockingbird of circumstances. Look at verse 10 and verse 14. They contain the exact same verbiage. God says to Elijah, "What are you doing?" And Elijah says, "I've been jealous for you. Israel's left the covenant. Everything's fallen apart. They've killed the prophets. Now they're coming after me." You can just hear how he's allowed his circumstances to color his understanding of the voice of God. And sometimes you can look at your circumstances and interpret God's voice as uncaring and unloving and unconcerned, when in fact the very opposite is true. And so again, God's voice comes to Elijah. Look at verse 18. "I will leave 7,000 in Israel that won't bow to Baal." See, God's word is what we need to help bring clarity to our circumstances. What we learn from this passage, as James 5 says, Elijah was a man just like us, broken, a mess. We need to develop a healthy mistrust of our ability to divine God's voice through our circumstances. Do you hear me? You need to develop a healthy mistrust of your ability to discern God's voice through your circumstances. And instead, you need to turn to God's word to hear what God's word has to say about your circumstances. Listen, there are open doors. I hear this all the time with people, circumstances, open doors, closed doors. What's God's word? What's God's will? What's God's voice? Listen to me. There are open doors you're not supposed to walk through. What do you think of that? And there are closed doors you're supposed to keep banging on. You can't divine the voice of God by your circumstances. Only the word of God. And it takes practice. It takes skill. It takes maturity. This coming Saturday, if you're following the Blue Book, you'll be in 1 Samuel 3, where Samuel, as a little boy, first hears the word of God, and he's so unpracticed, he's so unskilled, he doesn't know what God's voice is saying. And the priest Eli has to sort of coach him along on how to hear the voice of the Lord. We're like little Samuels. We're not used to hearing the voice of God. We need to become quiet and get out the word and ask for God's Spirit to guide us. Secondly, not only listen for God's voice beyond your circumstances, secondly, listen for God's voice beyond your feelings. If one of the great downfalls of Christians is to try to divine God's voice from their circumstances, the second great downfall is assuming that your feelings and impressions are the voice of God, when in fact, so often, they're not even close. Emotions are important. You don't discard them. But they often say more about what's going on inside of you than anything God is actually saying to you. Look at verse 3. Elijah was afraid when he's told he's going to be a dead man. And he ran as far south into Dixie as he could get. And so in verse 9 and verse 13, God asks them a question. Basically, how you doing, Elijah? Like, what are you doing? What are you up to? Why are you here? How you doing, Elijah? You know what Elijah says? Fine. Another acronym, F-I-N-E, fearful, insecure, neurotic, and exhausted. How you doing, Elijah? Fine. Fearful, insecure, neurotic, and exhausted. See, Elijah thought the great battle was on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. The greatest battle was inside his own flesh. The battle with his feelings and his impressions. Listen, the voice of God is not primarily subjective. The voice of God is primarily objective through the very word of God, read, heard, studied, properly interpreted, and properly applied. We all have to battle with our feelings and our impressions. And sometimes they seem so loud that you can't ignore them. But in fact, you can. On tomorrow, if you're following the Blue Book, you're going to be in Matthew 3 and 4, the baptism of Jesus, where he hears the voice of the Father. And before the baptism, Jesus comes to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist feels that it's all wrong. John the Baptist says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're coming to be baptized by me? No, 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 this is all wrong. Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. See, his feelings, his impressions are leading him all wrong. The same thing I said about circumstance, I need to say about feelings. You cannot always trust your feelings. Now, again, I'm speaking in more of an absolute sense today to get us to remember that the Word of God is our only sure hope. I'm not saying God never speaks through your feelings or impressions. But because of our fallenness and brokenness, we have an incredible capacity to mishear the voice of God through our feelings and through our impressions. And we need to return consistently to the voice of God in the Word of God. And so Jesus speaks to John the Baptist, permit it at this time, and we will fulfill all righteousness. See, Jesus corrects John's impressions and John's feelings and says, look, you're going to have to ignore your feelings. You're just going to have to, because your feelings are wrong. Your impressions are way off base. And the voice of God corrects the impressions of John the Baptist. Truth always trumps feelings. Truth always trumps impressions. And if we don't allow truth to trump feelings, it leads us oftentimes in a bad spot. Look at verse 4. Elijah, looking into circumstances and giving into his feelings, says, Lord, take away my life. You ever been there? Look, things stink so bad, God, I'm done. I'm checking out, punch my card, bring me to heaven. See, sometimes that happens when we give into our feelings. But what grace. God shows up and speaks to Elijah as he's a mess. Remember James 5, Elijah was a man just like us. He lay down, verse 5, and slept, and an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. You know, sometimes the Word of God is just incredibly down-to-earth and practical. When you're all upset over your circumstances and your feelings are starting to get out of control and your impressions are taking you to negative, hopeless places, God says in his voice, don't forget the connection between body and soul. Some of us, you're wrestling with depression, hopelessness, despair. You know what you need? You know what God's voice says? Get some rest. Work on your sleep patterns. Start eating better. Drink more fluids. And get lots more exercise. See, sometimes we beat ourselves up for spiritual problems, we think, that actually have a physical cause. Elijah really was fine, fearful, insecure, neurotic, because he was exhausted. And he needed food, he needed drink, and he needed rest. So don't beat yourself up for your feelings. Your feelings are just your feelings. It's going to be what you feel. But you can do things about your feelings. You can say no to your feelings. You can allow truth to trump your feelings. You can take better care of your body, and that could affect your feelings. But then, even after all that, God appears to him again. How's it going, Elijah, verse 14? He says, fine. I'm still fearful, insecure, neurotic, and exhausted. His feelings haven't changed. And again, sometimes your feelings won't change. I have people coming to my counseling office. Their marriage is falling apart. God, Bob, there's no way God wants me this miserable. I'm like, you know what? You're probably right. I don't think he does want you this miserable. He wants you desperate for Jesus is what he wants. He wants you conformed to Christ is what he wants. He wants you to stop listening to your feelings. And he wants you to start listening to truth. And he wants you to start acting on truth, trusting that he can change your feelings. I mean, that's what happens in verses 15 and 17. God's voice says, go, return, do this, do that. See, sometimes God simply says to us in our negative emotions, just go do the next right thing. Right? Don't worry about how you feel about it. Just go do the next right thing. So many of us were ruled by our emotions. You do not have to be. You can say to your emotions, look, I don't care. You can keep on freaking out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to obey God. That's what God's voice said to Elijah. I came to Christ through a tool called the Four Spiritual Laws. I still use them. I think they're great. It's a great tool to lead someone to Christ. And at the end of the booklet, there's a diagram for a Christian of how to live. And it's a train. There's a train engine, there's a coal car, and there's a caboose. And it says that the engine, that's God's word. That's what makes the Christian life go. And the coal car, that's your faith. You keep feeding coal into the engine. You keep applying faith to the word of God. And that's what makes the Christian life go. And the caboose has no power. And the caboose is your feelings. There's fact, faith, and feelings. And there used to be a joke that we used in Crusade when someone was giving into their emotions. We'd say, now, are you caboosing it today? And I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves that. Am I caboosing it today? Am I being completely overrun by my feelings? Giving into impressions? I need to get back to the basics of faith in the Word of God. The only truth that I'm able to trust. Stop caboosing it. How are you allowing your circumstances to trick you with regard to the voice of God? And then thirdly and finally, listen to God's voice beyond your expectations. So many of us expect God to speak to us in a certain way. And as Americans, we often expect it in this loud, obnoxious, boisterous way. We like the big and the bold. We like shock and awe. Come on, God, make it clear. And Elijah probably expected that as well because he knew his Bible that he had at that time. And he had the books of Moses. And he was on a parallel track with Moses. Moses went to Mount Horeb. Moses was there for 40 days and 40 nights. God's voice appeared to Moses, and guess how? With thunder and lightning, shock and awe. And so Elijah probably expected that's how God was going to speak to him. And instead, it wasn't in the wind, and it wasn't in the earthquake, and it wasn't in the fire. It was in a very soft voice. Verse 12, after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. The reason why many of us don't hear the voice of God is we don't quiet our hearts to spend time in the Word of God. Look, God's not going to love you more if you spend time in His Word. But if you're just going through the motions of wanting to be a good Christian and checking off the box, I read the Word of God, and your heart is noisy, and you're thinking about all the stuff you need to do, you're not going to hear the low whisper. See, God very rarely engages in shock and awe. He will one day. When Jesus returns, God will speak in shock and awe. But now, for the most part, it's a very gentle whisper. It was prophesied of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 2, fulfilled in Matthew 12, 19. He will not raise his voice in the streets. He won't. It's going to be a still, small voice. And unless we, by grace, quiet our hearts, we will not hear. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says the Jews were a lot like Americans. Jews seek signs, shock and awe, the bold, the dramatic, the big. Paul says no. No. Jews seek signs, but we, Christians, we preach Christ crucified. The simplicity and relative calm of the good news of the gospel. That's the voice of God. and the power of God. So where can we expect to hear God's voice? In God's Word. But be careful. Because as soon as Satan knows you're not going to listen primarily to circumstances, and as soon as he knows you're primarily not going to listen to feelings and impressions, and he knows you're going to listen primarily to the Word, well, guess where the mockingbird shows up? In the Word. Matthew 4, where he'll be tomorrow. Jesus, after his baptism, is led into the wilderness by the devil to be tempted. And guess what the devil uses? The Word. See, you can't simplistically go to the Word of God and say, okay, speak to me, God. No, you have to go to the Word of God with a humble, teachable heart, and you need to properly interpret and properly apply the Scriptures. That is the voice of God. And so when the devil tried to twist the Word of God, when the devil tried to be a mockingbird to Jesus, Jesus corrected the devil and said, no, you're misapplying Scripture. This is what the Scripture says, and we need to do the same things. Secondly, you can hear the Word of God through community. Very often, God humbles us by maybe not speaking to us the way we want Him to, but actually using somebody else. You know why He does that? Because He longs for us to be in community. And also, community protects us from listening to circumstances and from giving in to feelings and impressions. And community also protects us from misinterpreting and misapplying the Word of God. We need to be in community. You know, sometimes we're longing for God to speak. I mean, I just had a conversation with my son yesterday. It's like, sometimes, Josh, I just long for God to speak in a way. It's like, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Look, you want me to pat my head and rub my tummy and turn around? I'll do that. Just tell me what you want me to do. And sometimes the most painful moments of life are when we long for God to speak and God's voice is simply saying, wait. Sometimes this is the most painful moment of life. I'm waiting for God to speak and God's voice is saying one thing. Wait. See, we all have expectations. We all hear voices. Remember the movie The Beautiful Mind? Sometimes I think that's about me. My mind is a scary place to live. But he was a professor who sadly was schizophrenic. He saw people that weren't there. He heard voices that weren't there. He had illusions about things that just were not true and real. And over time, he was able to learn to say no to what he called those appetites of the mind and live a little bit more of a normal life, eventually winning the Nobel Prize. Because of the fall, men and women, every one of us here has a beautiful mind. We're all broken. We're all messed up. We all hear things that aren't there. We all see things that aren't there. We have impressions and illusions that aren't in truth with reality. And so there's one who always heard perfectly. There's one who always listened to the Father. And that same one is also willing to speak God's voice to us. And that one is Jesus. And we hear His voice through the Word, through community, by His Spirit. And then He speaks quite loudly at the table.